25th chapter of Exodus and reading at verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick. Now a better word is lampstand. There were no candles in those days, nor for many, many years afterwards. The proper word is a lampstand, holding up lamps with oil in them. And thou shalt make a lampstand of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the lampstand be made. His shaft, that is the main central shaft, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, or buds, and his flowers shall be of the same material, pure gold. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the lampstand out of the one side, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knop and a flower and one branch, in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knop and a flower, so in the six branches that come out of the lampstand. And in the lampstand shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the lampstand. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it, with all these vessels. And look, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Now, chapter 27, please. Chapter 27 of Exodus, and reading at verse 20. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil olive beaten. Not only the lampstand beaten, but the olives were to be beaten. Pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on the behalf of the children of Israel. Now chapter 37, please, for the carrying out of these instructions. Chapter 37 of Exodus, and reading at verse 17. And he made the lampstand of pure gold. Of beaten work made he the lampstand. His shaft and his branch, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers were of the same. And six branches going out of the sides thereof. Three branches of the lampstand out of the one side thereof. And three branches of the lampstand out of the other side thereof. Three bowls made after the fashion of almonds, in one branch a knop and a flower. Three bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower, so throughout the six branches going out of the lampstand, the main shaft. And in the lampstand were four bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold. And he made his seven lamps, and his snuffers, and his snuff dishes of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold made he it, and all the vessels thereof. Chapter 40, please, of Exodus. Chapter 40, and reading verse 24. And he put the lampstand in the tent of the congregation over against the table that we're looking at last night, on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. Leviticus chapter 24, please. Reading at verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light to cause the lamps to burn continually without the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation. Shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure lampstand before the Lord continually. A final reading, please, for the present, the book of Numbers, chapter 8. Numbers chapter 8, reading verse 1. At verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, now I'm reading for this next statement, and I'll draw attention to the revised version. Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the seven lamps shall give light over against the lampstand, or over in front of it, in the front of it, give light in the front of it, one light. Over in front of it. Now tonight we come to consider the second piece of furniture in the holy place, the golden lampstand. I pointed out last evening when the priest entered the door, he entered a room 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, 30 feet long, and on the north and south sides the boards were covered with pure gold. On the west side there hung the beautiful veil, and on the east side the hanging of the door and the beautiful curtains overhead. There were three pieces of furniture in this room. On his right hand side was the table that we spoke of last evening. On the left hand as he entered there was the golden lampstand. In the middle, in the center, directly against the veil was a golden altar of incense that we hope to speak on, God willing, tomorrow night. Now this was a most beautifully illuminated room. One can scarcely imagine the brilliance of this room with seven lamps burning brightly and shining gold walls on either side of these beautiful veils. Now at the brazen altar we have fire. At the laver we have water. At the table we have bread. At the lampstand we have oil. And at the altar of incense we have, at the golden altar, we have incense. Here we have salvation. Here we have sanctification. And in here we have service. Now, brethren and sisters, this was by far the most beautiful, the most artistic piece of furniture in the tabernacle. It outshone all the other vessels for its beauty. The man, and likely Bezalel himself, who made this golden lampstand, must have meditated and studied over every detail of it. You will have noticed in our reading what a detail there was. There's a good brother, he is still living now in Florida. He came from Scotland. He learned the machinist and metal working business as a boy in Scotland. He lived for a good many years in Boston, then in Seattle, then in Forest Grove, Oregon, then in San Diego. He heard me speak on the tabernacle from this model in Seattle, Forest Grove, and San Diego. On each occasion he said to me after the meeting, when I spoke on this piece of furniture, he said, there is no man living could possibly have made that golden lampstand unless he was divinely helped of God. He said it would be absolutely humanly impossible. He would have a piece of gold, we know not what shape, that weighed a talent. His only tool was a hammer. There's no riveting, there's no welding, there's no joining at all. And with that hammer, he was required to beat out that main shaft with its knob, its flour, its almonds, and he must beat out just the exact amount. He wouldn't have to beat out on this side of branch, on that side of branch, symmetrically, to within a fraction of an ounce the same amount of gold, and so with each branch. We cannot, brothers and sisters, begin to enter into the what it must have meant, hammering, day after day. I do not know how long it would take to make this piece of furniture. I would not begin to guess the value of it today. 120 pounds of pure gold. The last time I had this model up, banker told me that gold was $105 an ounce. Now you just multiply 120 pounds and get it into ounces and multiply it by $100 or so. And then think of the hourly wage that would be paid to a mechanic if he possibly could make this. It's valueless, brothers and sisters. Now I wish to draw your attention, first of all, to the material of which it is made. Then we will speak very briefly on its dimensions, as we've been doing with other pieces of furniture. I shall draw attention to its position, where it was to be placed. Then tonight I wish to give it first an application. Then I wish to give it what I believe is a proper interpretation. And then I wish to give it another application, a very practical one. Now I think most here tonight have been out nightly or often enough to know that we give an application to materials. Gold speaks of that which is divine. Silver speaks of redemption. Wood speaks of that which is, brass speaks of judgment on sin. Wood speaks of that which is human. This is all gold. There's no silver here. This has nothing to do with redemption. There is no brass here. This has nothing whatever to do with judgment on sin. There is no wood here. There's nothing human here. Therefore, that helps us that a little while to give it what I believe to be its proper interpretation. No silver, no redemption here, no brass, no judgment here, there's no wood here, nothing human. Then as to its dimensions, for the second time we come to a piece of furniture concerning which no dimension is given. No dimension is given in connection with this labor. And it just dawned upon me that here we have two pieces of furniture in which no dimensions are given and there's no wood in them. So then we must have something that's infinite, something that cannot be measured. We found that this labor is a beautiful type of the Word of God. We cannot measure the Word of God. God has said, magnify His Word above all His name. No wood here, no dimensions. No wood here, no dimensions. Now where was it to be placed? It was to be placed in the holy place. Here I say again, we have a beautiful type of the local assembly. And here we have this lampstand. Where? Right opposite the table. Right across from the table. And I enjoyed when I noticed the revised version, it was to shine light over against, over in front of it. And I'm going to give this an application in a minute or two that you'll see is quite clear. Pure gold, no dimensions, and not taken up with itself. It's throwing light over on the table. That is why we were able to go into so much detail last night concerning the Lord's table, because of the light. Now, very briefly, let me give it an application, very briefly. We have here, brothers and sisters, what suggests to us God's masterpiece. This is a masterpiece of workmanship. What is God's masterpiece? The church. We are His workmanship. And as one translation gives, we are His masterpiece. Christ and the church. Christ the main shaft and the branches, the members. And all beaten out of one piece. Just out of one piece. A beautiful picture of the church, the body of Christ. God's masterpiece today. Now I do not dwell on that. And tonight I will try and keep well within the time and yet do justice to the subject. I wish now, brothers and sisters, to give this lampstand what I believe to be the proper interpretation, not an application. We have oil here. Now oil, whether in the Old Testament or the New, oil always speaks. It's typical of the Holy Spirit of God. Here I believe we have a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit. There is no wood here. There's nothing human. There's no humanity in the Holy Spirit. There's no silver here. The Holy Spirit has not wrought the work of redemption. And of course there's no brass. There's no judgment concerning connected with the Holy Spirit of God. And there are no measurements. Isn't that beautiful? I was going to quote, but I might impress it better upon you, for I could easily quote a few words. Keep your finger here, please, and turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. It's remarkable, brethren and sisters, how the Word of God fits in its applications and its interpretation. John chapter 3, and reading, we'll read the whole verse. I just want to get to the last statement in the verse. John 3 and verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit, capital S, giveth not the Spirit by measure. Unto him is in italics. God giveth not the Spirit by measure. Isn't that remarkable? This beautiful type of the Holy Spirit of God, and there are no measurements. God giveth not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by measure. And in Galatians chapter 5, where we read of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on, and it finishes up with these words, against such there's no law. There's no limit. So there are no measurements to the lampstand. Now, I am sure it is very evident to all who have been attending these meetings, and likely you do long before you ever attended these meetings, there's no natural light gets into this building. No natural light at all. There is no question whatever that this hanging comes very snugly, covering the full opening of the door, the entrance into the tabernacle. And we were noticing on last evening, it's fourfold covering. No natural light penetrated that room. The sun in high heaven was the light of the court. We shall see when we get into the Holy of Holies. God dwelt in here between the cherubim. The Shekinah glory lit up this room. But here there is no natural light at all. No windows, no natural light got in. Now here we have what I believe is one of the most important things concerning this lampstand in this room. And it threw light in front of itself. The whole light in this room was received from the light of the lampstand, a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Will you turn your Bibles now, please, to the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 2. Here we see where we get our light in the Church of God. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We will begin to read at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That's not future, that's right now. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, capital S. For the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit, small s, the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, of God. Now we have received not the Spirit, capital small s, of the world, but the Spirit, small s, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we teach, listen to this, which things also we teach, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and so on. Is this not clear and plain, brethren and sisters? What is it reveals to us the truth of God? Not the words of man's wisdom. but from the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit of God. Give me a spirit-taught man any time. I do not despise books for one moment. However, there has sprung up in comparatively recent years Bible schools. There have been theological colleges down through the years. I am not finding fault with them, but I have perceived in moving up and down circles that the Holy Spirit taught man is the man that is going to give you the truth of God in a way that is never learned or taught even or learned in Bible schools. They have their place. I was speaking on this subject, not from this model, in New Zealand. New Zealand is a country that's very missionary minded because missionaries brought the gospel there. I did not know who I had in my large audience, and I was speaking on this subject and along the line I'm speaking now. At the close, a middle-aged lady came up to me. She said, "I'm a missionary home on furlough from India. Before going out to India, I went to a seminary, theological seminary, and to a Bible school. I went out under the auspices of a denomination, and she mentioned the denomination to me. I was thankful for the little learning that I got in these schools. But while I was in India, I came in contact with missionaries that came from New Zealand, sent out, commanded by Christians gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. After a little while, I married one of them. She said, "I would like to tell you for your encouragement. I learned more in 2 years in the assembly than I learned in 4 years in the Bible school." And she said, "I'm glad that you didn't find fault with Bible schools, but I agree with what you've said. There is no teacher like the Holy Spirit." And so we have found brethren again and again. I often recall a conference, and I'm going to tell you this incident, for I love to tell it. A conference out at the West Coast, and three young men, comparative strangers, I don't think anyone knew them, came to that conference, and they sat right up in the front. On the very first morning of the conference, Saturday morning, from the front row here, a very able brother, servant of the Lord that we entertained in our home for a week, when we were just a week married. He murdered the king's English, I assure you, but he knew his Bible. His name was John McCartney, commended to the work of the Lord from the Junction Assembly in Toronto. Mr. McCartney was just about to get up when one of these young men got up, and he let us know that he graduated from a Bible school. He got up like a peacock, and he floundered around, and he did one good thing. He did what Zacchaeus did. He made haste and came down, for his intellectual knowledge seemed to fail him. Sat down, Mr. McCartney was just about to get up the second time, and another of these boys got up, and I think it was sticking out of him more than the first one. My, and he rounded out his words. Wonderful. He had nothing to give us. It was all from his head. He said he was a product of the Bible school, and thankful to say, he wasn't too long, and he got down. Mr. McCartney was about to get up when the third one got up, and the morning meeting was wasted. We got nothing. Well, we did some praying in the meantime. The afternoon meeting, I was up at the front. A few eyes were on Mr. McCartney, and he got up. Pardon me for imitating him. He was quite a man. He looked over his audience, and he said, "I had my wings clipped 3 times this morning." He was from Ireland. "I had my wings clipped 3 times this morning, but I'm up now." And he says, "And what I'm going to give you," he was no Bible school product, "what I'm going to give you is not what I was going to give you this morning. What I'm going to give you, I got when I went for a walk over the top of the hill after dinner." That's where he got it, not out of a book. He read about the old prophet and the young prophet, the man of God. Brethren and sisters, it flowed out. I sat there drinking it in. Where did he get it? Holy Spirit taught man. No natural light in here at all. No windows. No, I'm not despising books. I have a large library. In fact, someone asked me how many books I had one time. And I said, "I don't know. Maybe 100 or 150. I counted them. I got down on my knees and confessed my sin to God. I had no idea I had so many. Most of them given to me, sometimes whole libraries. I get help from them. I shall tell you something else before I pass on. I want to emphasize this. Bible schools may have their place. I got no further than grade school. I do not despise an education. some years ago, when doing a little pioneering, we went to a little town called Banks in the state of Oregon to have meetings. Couldn't find a place, neither an empty store, a vacant store. No one would rent us a hall. We're about to give up. Look somewhere else. When my partner came to me, says, I've got good news for you. Oh, I said, what is that? He says, you remember the Methodist preacher we were talking to the other day? I said, yes. Well, he said he had a meeting with the deacons, and they talked the thing over, and we can have the Methodist church every night of the week if we want it. Only time we can have it Saturday morning. I said, thank you very much, but I want no Methodist church. Well, he said, we can have it. I went to see the preacher, minister. Yes, he says, it's yours, and no rent. I said, we don't take anything for nothing. Mr. Roof, I didn't call the Reverend Roof. He said, we don't take anything for nothing. But I said, look, we won't rent your church. So, brethren, don't have me in the carpet afterwards. I said, we'll rent the building. Well, all right, he said, if you must pay, we paid, $1 a night. I want to tell you something. I never got better treatment in my life. The ladies' aid had a vase of fresh flowers up in the pulpit every night. And it's the only place I ever preached where I had a velvet cushion to put my Bible on. And I had a velvet cushion to stand on. But I want to tell you about Mr. Roof. He was a born-again man. He lived next door, Methodist preacher, but he was born again. He lived next door. Nice home that provided for him. In his study, there was a library that would make anybody's teeth water if you're a reader. Row upon row of books, except where there were windows and doors. Almost from the floor to the top in beautiful bindings. Looked around. Over here. Mr. Roof, what is this? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, CHM. Miscellaneous Writings, CHM. J. and Darby Synopsis. Darby's Notes. The Son of God by J.G. Mellon. Robert Chapman. Edward Dennett. Brethren Books. What's this? Mr. Alves, I want to tell you something. I get more out of those books than I get out of all the rest of them put together and put my 7 years in college on top of that. Why? Spirit taught men. Holy Spirit taught men. Every time, brethren and sisters. And I have been amazed. I've been amazed. When a young brother will get up and give a word for about 10 minutes, there's something he's been enjoying. And maybe I'm a little impudent. And I asked one of them, I said, well, what penny pamphlet did you swallow? Penny pamphlet, he said, what are you talking about? I said, where did you get that? He says, there's where I got it. There was a lady, when she was 16 years of age, she left one of the denominations in a city in one of the northern states. When she had been in the assembly 4 years, her daughter and husband, son-in-law, who had REV to his name, came up to spend 2 weeks with mother. First morning, she said, now, we are in the habit of reading the scriptures. Oh, that's fine. So they read. And he thought, here's his opportunity. And he cleared his throat, and he made a few tense remarks, and that was it. And she took over. The second morning, she took over longer. And the third morning, what do you think? She's sitting in the armchair, and he's sitting down at her feet on the hassock, and he looks up into her face, and he says, mother, where did you get all that knowledge of the Word of God? She said, I got it when I left what you're in and was gathered to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit of God teaches his people. Ah, brothers and sisters, I've said enough along that line. Well, maybe not enough. I can't say too much.